Thank you all for tuning in. This is the Karma of it all. And of course, I am your host, Miss Karmplexity. Today, we are getting into something really deep, guys. I have Miss Isabella Young on the line, and she is going to tell us how she went into a horrific situation, how she overcame this situation, and what she is doing now to help others. Okay? So, Isabella, I'm glad that you are here. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Carla. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share my experiences and what I've learned.
Is it? Want to travel the world, but for now, cruise my city. My city, if you want to be down with me, then right now, fuck with me.
Where are you located, actually?
I'm in Hawaii.
Uh-oh. We all the way in Hawaii, y'all. We in Hawaii, y'all.
So, I escaped to paradise.
Going through your situation, I want you to start from the beginning, okay? Let us know how you got into this situation, what the situation is, and how you overcame it. So, what actually happened here?
Well, I think the best place to start is from childhood, and I was raised by a devout atheist. My mother hated God and she believed everyone who was religious or believed in God was somehow defective and less of a person. So I grew up with this superior attitude to anyone who believed in God. And I, when I actually said the word God, I would spit it out with all the venom that I could. And that continued on until I was in my early 20s when a friend of mine went to India to live in an ashram, and she gave me books to read, and that kind of opened me up to the spiritual world. And then I met a man. I was doing a degree in physical education and outdoor education, and he was the instructor for the rock climbing and the downhill skiing. And when I met him, I felt this electricity through my body, and I've never experienced it since. We had this extraordinary connection, and he was married at the time, but we just had to be together, and we ended up making a life together. We bought a couple of acres, and we were becoming self-sufficient, and we had a child together, and He started his outdoor education business, and I was doing a PhD in outdoor education and mental health. And then I found out I was pregnant with our second child. He went off to work to one day, and I got a knock on the door from the local policeman and a neighbor to tell me that he died, which that just was the, I knew my life as I had dreamed was over at that point. You know, I was never going to have the family I wanted. I was, you know, I couldn't keep the farm anymore. It was just too much for me. So I basically went on a soul search, really, because I really wanted to die after that happened. And the only reason I stayed alive was because I had a child and I was pregnant. So I knew I really had to find a reason to live. So I traveled around Australia a lot. I stayed with friends, and I went to India. I went to an ashram there, and also lived in a community in Australia for a while. And through this connection with the Indian guru, I met some people who invited me along in their group, and they told me that they were going to be part of this spiritual community run by this, he was a trans channel at the time. His name's Louis or Don Pree. And I really don't like saying his name because it's just, he's such an evil piece of work. But anyway, let's just call him that cult guy. So I was part of the group. I hadn't met him, but I listened to his teachings, and I still just inside me, I just felt this death wish. And I went along to this shamanic course called Dying to Live, and we basically prepared for our death. We did, we stayed blindfolded, and it was silence for 5 days, except when we were sitting in circle together, and then we talked about our eulogy. We wrote our will. We wrote letters of forgiveness to friends and family. And then on the last morning, we did the meditation where we basically went through like the death experience. And I had I had put all my soul into this course, and I had a huge experience. And one of the things that happened was I heard, I do hear voices. And I heard it was time to go and train with the cult guy. So I had two children at that point. They stayed with my mom, and I went to the US. He had a cult in, I didn't know it was a cult. Just had to get that clear. No one joined the cult. I thought I was.
It's cool. I know.
I thought it was a spiritual community, and he was my guru, because I understood the guru, the disciple relationship. And I was, I was totally devoted to my spiritual path by this time. So I got there, and I was pretty much just living in a house with other people, and about 30, I suppose, in the group, and we would have meetings and trainings and go on retreat and things like that. And just at the end of my first stay there, that month long, we went to Sedona, and we were doing a meditation on top of one of the red rocks there, and he called me up in front of the group. And the sun was just setting, and he had me face the setting sun, and he said, cast your deepest desire into the setting sun, which is to serve God. And then when I turned around, he was down on one knee, and there were rose petals on the ground, and people were blowing bubbles, and he asked me to marry him. And so I accepted that proposal when we went back to Australia and got my children, and we began living as a family in a home on a cul-de-sac in Southern California. And that's when the hell started.
Have you grabbed my new ebook? No. What are you waiting on? Go ahead and enter into my world and learn about how I survived church-related sexual abuse and how I'm able to bring to you healing and self-healing through my trauma and turmoil. This is available on Amazon for free at Kindle.com, or you can download it for $9.99 at www.misscomplexityllc.com. I truly thank
you. The avatar, the light prayer, and he was theater. He was saved humanity, and we were all his disciples, just like priests had disciples, and we were helping him with his mission. But we all had to undergo training where we were, he called it refined, but we were basically like shredded. Any mistakes we made, they were pointed out, or we were punished. And punishments included things like writing lines. We wrote thousands of lines. One of his favorite said he gave me was, I'm the wife of Christ. And I had to write like that 33 times a day for 99 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then there were, people had to pick up dog shit or pick up trash or sleep in the car with no blankets or sleep in the garage with no bed, no mattress. So there were punishments, and that's what really kept people in line.
Yeah, living in fear of what he was going to dish out.
And, it looked, it's kind of normal on the outside, just living in a suburban home, and the children were going to local schools and doing the activities and things like that. But behind closed doors, it was a nightmare. And as the years went past, I didn't know how to get out. I just knew I wanted to get out. I thought, well, I'll leave when the children are finished school. But I was really desperate. I was clawing at my wrists because I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And he had me trapped because, this is one thing I didn't mention, that we consummated the marriage and I got pregnant. And the moment I got pregnant, he never touched me again. And while he put on these sort of displays of affection in public, behind closed doors, he didn't touch me. And he would blame me. Like he said that I was too much like a man, or that I was too needy, that I didn't deserve him, that I'd been disrespectful, or that another one, his favorite one was that celibacy was for my, you know, that was the best thing for my spiritual evolution, because after all, he was my guru and he knew what was best for me. And so there was really no way to kind of argue with him, because he'd always just pull that authority card. And so this, one of the things that still upsets me is that my family knew that I was in a cult long before I did. I didn't find out I was in a cult until 8 years later, but my family knew. My parents went to see a cult expert within the year of me in Australia. And I don't know what he told them, that they did nothing. No one said anything. Not even any of my friends said anything.
But didn't you say that they were anti-Christ? So basically, they knew, but they also knew that, I'm going to say that, I'm going to call him like a handler. They knew this handler was going to do what they needed to do to keep you where they needed to keep you. Were they operating with this guy at all? Do you know?
No, they didn't like him at all. They didn't like him from the start. And but I don't think they really liked me that much either. So they didn't say anything. And that's one of the things I've learned. That's why I'm speaking up now, is that when you know someone's in a dangerous situation or in a cult or in a like an abusive relationship, then it's really important to speak up. It's get over that hurt someone's feelings, because you might also save a life. That's the bottom line, Red. So, you know, it's good to speak up. I think the other thing too that would be good is to provide evidence. And that's something else that I'm doing as well with my book, you know, provide evidence of humanity being in a cult. So, you know, they got enough money, they had enough resources, there are five lawyers in the family, they could have got a private investigator and, you know, followed him and got a financial audit done and just shown me what he's really up to. You know, he was, while I was celibate, he was having sex with all the male cult members. Like, you know, he started off with like, you know, you can give Guruji a massage. That's such a great honor. And then let's explore your sexual issues and your boundaries. And so he's fucking all the male members. Then we find out later he's grooming the boys. And that's where the story really gets really evil.
Okay, spiritualists in the Tampa Bay area, head on over to Smudge Life Energy Wellness and grab your crystals, your sage sticks, and your candles monthly subscription, which can also include on-site energy healing and yoga sessions, sound bathing, and more. Visit them at 1409 Tampa Plaza in Tampa, Florida, or visit their website at smudgelife.com and get your energy wellness aligned.
One day, one Friday, my son came home from school and he was really upset and he didn't want to talk about it. So I said, I'll just go to bed and we'll talk about it in the morning. And the next day, Saturday, he was gone. And he didn't come home that day. And we called his friends and no one had seen him. And I knew something was bad had happened. And called the police and reported him missing. And the next day, this cult guy sent his assistant to the area behind our house, it was where those big electric towers are, and there's sort of cleared land, no houses in any way. He went up there and he found my son with his head almost severed, a kitchen knife next to his body, and he's dead. So the cult guy tells everyone that he killed himself because he found out he was gay, and he knew that was unacceptable to me, which were the three heinous lies. That was, I lost my mind, being blamed for my son's death, being, he outed him at his funeral, and, he wasn't gay, and that's not even the point. If he had been, that would be fine by me. I don't have an issue with that, but to have that, held against me and blamed for my son's death was a real mindfuck, basically. So I got
abused by people in the court.
What's that?
Do you know if he was being abused? Was that it? He was being abused by the people in the court.
And,
was that an issue? Was that something that he couldn't handle?
There was a lot of abuse. He was being particularly picked on by the cult leader because he knew that upset me. But he really severely punished my son. He was also, we found out he was grooming him. We didn't find out that till later because there were some young boys in the cult in Australia. And once they grew up, they started talking about what they'd experienced in their cult. And they were told from the time they were seven that you're gay. And they're like, no, we're not, and they're not now. They're in their 30s. And because they wouldn't admit they were gay, they were ostracized. And he had retreats. So, the disciples or cult members would come and, participate in like 5-day retreats. And these young boys were sent by their aunt, who's the cult leader in Australia, to the bed of their guru for their healing. So we found out a lot about what was going on behind the scenes. But the children were also had to be part of all the activities, like the disciple trainings, which were just hours of screaming and crying by people, because they were processing their issues. But really, it was just more, additional trauma. They also had to, every Saturday morning, people would come to our house and clean from 9 till 1, basically like a toothbrush on baseboards. And the kids all had to participate in that. And they basically had to live with him. And he was just a despicable human being, arrogant, rude, demanding, insulting, demeaning. And he also he's a master manipulator. Like, he's done a lot of study of how to really mind rape people. So the children were caught up in all that abuse. I'll talk more about what I believe happened to my son, but it wasn't suicide. It was definitely a demonic, there were demons involved, and there were, that was a sacrifice in order for him to keep his cow. So I just knew I wanted to get out, but I couldn't figure out how to get away because he said he would keep my daughter. He wouldn't let me leave with my daughter, and I couldn't leave her there with him. My parents, no one was really helping me. And so I went to see this guy who had been the therapist for cult members. And we had to do all these things like kinesiology sessions and therapy sessions, as well as sessions with him, of course, for our training. And I walked into this guy's office and he said, "I knew you'd come and see me one day. You know you're in a cult, don't you?" And I said, "No, I don't know I'm in a cult. I thought I was in an ashram with my guru doing my spiritual training." So he said, "Go home and Google characteristics of a cult." And so I did. And all the characteristics of a cult were what I was living. Blind obedience to a charismatic leader. There was love bombing, and then there was, trauma-based mind control and gaslighting and the use of guilt and shame and anger. And we were isolated, and we were punished and all the techniques and tools that are culturally used were used on me. And I was a prime target because I was so wounded and just really fucked in the head after, you know, my husband had died and I was this, you know, a single mother with two kids. I was just prime candidate for a cult leader, and he got me in, got me up, but I don't know why he let me go. I think because he was going to have, I'm pretty sure he was going to have another death on his hands. That was going to be me, because I really, really did not want to be alive. So he let me leave with my youngest daughter, and we came to Hawaii. And once I got there, then my family disowned me. Oh, my God. So I had to heal. I had to start healing and studying what made me vulnerable to cult programming. And I had to learn about narcissistic abuse. And then once I learned about, you know, he was clearly a narcissist, you know, with a full-blown narcissistic personality disorder. But what, then I had to focus on what did that mean about me, and what that meant was that I was codependent. You know, I looked outside myself for love. Narcissism and codependence are like the, you know, both self-love deficit disorders. But the difference is that codependency can actually be healed. So I went all in to love myself and practice self-care. And it's taken a long time. It's still a work in progress because, you know, I didn't have a loving mother. I didn't have a loving grandmother. I didn't have loving aunties. So I didn't really have that nurturing. So I didn't have to nurture myself. And I ended up in a couple of other relationships with narcissists, but I was able to see the patterns earlier and get out of those relationships. And now I know that I'm a long way through that healing because I'm in a relationship with a man who's not narcissistic. And we have a healthy relationship, and yeah, it's still a work in progress. But that self-love was the really the master key to my healing. And in addition to that, what I did was expand my consciousness in lots of different ways. So I meditated. I started sunbathing, which is watching the sun when it rises and receiving the light of God into my eyes every morning. I haven't worn shoes for about 7 years. I'm connected to the earth. I use entheogens, like sacred plant medicines, and read and studied a lot of esoteric wisdom. And that, as I expanded my consciousness, I was able to see more of what was happening in the world. It was obviously more of the bigger picture. And I looked into things like 9/11, moon landing, and then this whole COVID bullshit. And I would see that humanity is in a cult. And humanity is, we're being subjected to the same tactics as a mass population as I was in that cult. You know, that cult was a microcosm of the macrocosm. I could see the brainwashing and the indoctrination and the trauma-based mind control and the divide and conquer strategies, you know, the savior programming, the gaslighting and the psyops. And so I started writing. And once I started writing, it seemed that the information that I needed, the teachings that I needed, and the secrets of nature were revealed to me. And I finished my first book, The Unarmor of God, in 2020, and I'm now working on another book called Human Nuance. It's medicine for the great awakening and looking to humanity, and I have hundreds of medicines that have been forgotten or thought to be too simple to be effective or ridiculed, you know, like being connected to the earth and all, you know, movements and singing and dance, and then all the different types of foods and plants that we can use as medicine. And that just will be ready in a couple of months.
Plexity here, and guess what? We are looking for you to be on the show. Do you want to share your triumphing story, your karmic situation? I know y'all tired of hearing about me and my story. So let's go ahead and get into some of you guys' stories. If you're interested in being on the show and sharing your karmic story and how you triumph over it, then by golly, hit that www.complexityonline.com or the link in the description or in the bio and connect, request to be on the show. Until then, aloha. Tessis!